Hey y'all, this is Lisa Adkins on Agile Uprising.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. Please note this episode, the first in a series on adaptable leadership, was recorded live with audience participation. So when you hear references to populating the backlog, dot voting, continuing, etc., please don't get frustrated. Don't reach for that stylus. You're not experiencing technical difficulties. You're just in a bit of a time warp. Now, on with the show. Hello, welcome to the very first in a series of webinars where we explore the topic of adaptive leadership. This is a series co-sponsored by both Agile Velocity and the Agile Uprising. And today's theme is women in leadership. My co-hosts are Chris Merman, Carrie Suki, and Colleen Johnson. Thanks for leaning in.
Definitely. Thanks for having us.
Delighted to be joined with two wonderful panelists, Lisa Adkins and Carolyn Dragon. They co-lead 10 Women Strong, a group that brings together circles of the dynamic and inspiring women to lead their lives on purpose. And we'll dive into that in more detail in a little bit. Welcome. Great to see you.
Thanks.
We also have with us almost 75 people from all over the globe. All the attendees, you should have received a link in the registration email. It's an online tool that we're using today to help us collect and manage topics. It's a lean coffee table tool. We'll walk you through as we go. It'd be pretty easy to use. The user interface is pretty clean. You feel free to start populating with topics. You could also vote. You got three votes. Note that we won't be using Zoom's built-in Q&A. It's actually turned off. You don't even see it, so if you're missing it. After initial question to our panel, we'll fire up the Lean Coffee board, see what topics have bubbled up as the most popular. I'll screen share for a bit, and then we'll come back to gallery view. So panelists, are you ready?
I guess so.
We're live and recording.
How about you, Carolyn? Ready.
So, most of us, at least on the panel, are familiar with Brené Brown's work, and I was listening to her book, Dare to Lead, Brave Work, Tough Conversation, Whole Hearts, not too long ago, and she has this wonderful question that she poses. And so I'm stealing it, and I'm putting out to you, Lisa and Carolyn, to get your responses, and it goes like this. What, if anything, about the way people are leading today needs to change in order for leaders to be successful in a complex, rapidly changing environment where we're faced with seemingly intractable challenges and an insatiable demand for innovation? Lisa.
Probably almost everything, I think, is the short answer that I would give. And Brené is pointing to some of it, this insatiable desire for innovation, and I would call it just this belief that more is better. More, 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 more. Do more, get more, do more with less. Accumulate things, buy, buy, buy. And what that has created is a world of incredible comfort for some of us and a world of incredible poverty and difficulty for many. And although I am very grateful for the iPhone in my pocket that it can do so many things, I mean, I really am. Like this whole industrial machine that we then moved into knowledge work, I mean, it's given us a lot of things. And we're coming to the end of its great usefulness, I think, or maybe we're just ready for a new rebirth of it. So that's like the big backdrop that I'm thinking about. And to the question of what needs to change, Carolyn and I talk a lot about yin leadership capacities or feminine leadership capacities, and how can those be brought online more? Because I think that's the essential thing that needs to change. Not that the masculine leadership capacities need to go away. In fact, most of us have those mastered, including most women. It's the idea of bringing on the other half of the yin-yang symbol. And being able to sit in difficulty and listen deeply as the primary skill of a leader that I'm imagining needs to come online for us to figure out what are the things that need to change. It's not like we just, bam, have the answer right now.
Right. Yeah. Carolyn, thoughts?
So I ditto everything that Lisa has said. And what would a Brené Brown discussion be without vulnerability? I mean, we're in a place right now where we're getting an opportunity to see, how do we lead? How do we lead from? And if we don't know where we are, how do we lead from there? So this idea about being vulnerable to look in terms of inside yourself and what really matters, and coming up with a new measurement, a new yardstick to measure success. One of the yin capacities that Lisa and I were talking about recently, we did a program in the idea of patience and how do you measure patience? I mean, we can measure stockholder equity or something, but wouldn't it be great if we could measure patience? And aren't we all needing a little more patience right now? Mm-hmm. Or nurturing, or Lisa mentioned deep listening. So how do I measure deep listening? And am I getting that from my leaders? And leaders serve. Leaders don't preside over a situation. They serve within the situation. So capacities around listening and patience and vulnerability and empathy are ways that we need to measure our success in leadership.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you bring up the idea of leaders and their stance right now, Carolyn, because they're in this virtual world that we're working in. There's a lot of, I need to show my value because I'm not in the office being seen, or I'm not on, over the phone. Maybe I'm just a nebulous face on a Zoom like I am right now, but I want to show my value, right? Like it seems like leaders are almost asking themselves that question every day right now, is how do I show value? It's so interesting to see how they respond differently in sessions. Like, have you all noticed that change here in the last couple of months?
Right now, I'm not working with leaders in non-agile organizations. I'm only working with leaders who are in like genuinely agile organizations, and only a couple groups at that. So what I'm seeing is them dipping into the yin capacities and really bringing on a much fuller investigation of the situation, being able to sit in complexity and paradox and uncertainty, and not just, you know, sort of knee-jerk react and, you know, try to move when moving is the stupidest thing you could possibly do. But that is the gift of the yang is to move and create direction. Great, but let's not do it all the time, right? And like right now is, and so for a lot of decisions leaders are sitting with, I don't think now is the time to move.
I think we are being kind of forced to move to some different platforms, to some different situations, right? What is not the way to move is assume the same values or the same priorities are still in place. We're just now in a box like the Brady Bunch or whatever. Things have switched. And so there needs to be a remelding of why are we here? And what is, as we did before this, in terms of what's our role? And how will we know we're being supported? And how will we know we're on there? So there's a slowing down and a reconnecting to the values that may shift just during this time, or may end up being forever, or may be back to what were our values for this organization that we want to make sure that we don't lose sight of as, you know, your children are running into the room, or you're feeling that you need to do something in a certain way to show that you're still can be counted on, or whatever the situation is. So it's like a rebooting of the value system to check them out again and reconnect on them.
Yeah, and there's a wonderful opportunity to not only reboot, but reevaluate. Well, maybe they're one and the same things, but look, right? And realize that we do have kids, and we do have partners and dogs. And for many of us in the Agile community, that's a given that that personal aspect of our lives are shared. But in so much of the business, it may not be so. It's been ignored.
Cool. I'll just point out for women, I'll just kind of talk about my experience as a woman leader over a course of time working with some other women. I was vice president of Play and Discover for a toy company, and my colleagues were vice president of Feeding and Soothing and vice president of Care and Safety. And we were three mothers working for a toy company. And this is many years ago. And I got to say, one mother would say, oh my goodness, my kid has a swim meet, right at the same time client XYZ wants to see a product line. And somebody would say, I can do that Care and Safety presentation while you're at the swim meet. And we've been, for a long time, women know how to juggle the priorities and do what's needed to get it done. I don't know if it's like an innate thing, but it's been going on. And I just want to put up a little flag right now. Women that are out there being the teacher and the parent and the employee, we need to slow down and figure out how we support those women in this new way of leadership across all of those platforms.
I love that you said that about that you would juggle that balance for each other too, right? You would acknowledge the need and step in to help each other, because I think as hard as this all is for everyone in different ways, depending on all those situations at home, I've had more friends send a text and say, are you okay? That's all it says. Are you doing okay? Do you need anything? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot we can do right now other than just check on each other, but there's a lot that comes with somebody just reaching out and saying, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to switch over to the Lean Coffee. But the job titles that you mentioned in the industry, I would love to see them show up in corporate America, right? VP of Care and Soothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. What were the titles again?
I was vice president of Play and Discover. My colleague was vice president of Feeding and Soothing. And my other colleague was vice president of Care and Safety. And we ran a multi-million-dollar company's product line.
I want every Fortune 100 to have the same titles in them. So here's our Lean Coffee Board. The way this works is we have populated it with a bunch of different topics from people who are online. We have close to 100 people showing up, and everybody's got three votes. If you haven't used your three votes, please go ahead and cast them now. And then this tool will magically sort, bubble, and allow us to prioritize the things that are most important, so that we don't have dead airspace. What shall we do, folks? Panel?
I was thinking more like...
There we go. Much better.
Oh, my goodness.
Play it.
I was gonna nominate the Hollywood Squares theme song, because I think that this is more, instead of Brady Bunch, this is Hollywood Squares.
I don't remember that one.
I like that, Chris.
We'll do that for the next one.
Y'all are on your own on that one.
Then I like look down and yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Remember? We did
that. Kind of.
I do see a question in the chat about if there's a hashtag we should use. Does anybody have?
Who wants to make one up? Gosh, we had some in the social sharing. I'll come up with one in a minute. So allow me to sort and move topics.
Cool.
And our very first one. Carrie, you want to grab this one? Take 5 minutes. Can you see?
Absolutely. Let me see if I can. Can you zoom in a little bit? Let's see. I'll go to this side. Was there a leader, male or female, in your career that amplified your voice in a way that changed the course of your career? From Colleen.
Two people are coming to mind for me. I'm not sure what I want to say about them. Do you have anything off the top, Carolyn?
Oh, absolutely.
Go, I figured you would. Go, baby.
Absolutely. So I was the lowest of the low in a position. I worked for Sara Lee, the kitchens of Sara Lee back in the day. And I was, I think, the assistant to the assistant marketing assistant. And I was on a product development team. And the director of that team, shout out to Kathy Abdener Durrett. Everyone on the team had a background like Procter & Gamble all these years, like all of this. Kathy needed help. And somehow I got moved onto product development to help her do something. And Kathy was so generous with her project. She would give me, like, she'd give me this whole budget to do for a new product launch or something. And like, nobody gets to touch this unless they've come in with all of this background and blah, blah, blah. And so she would give me these projects and I'd be scared to work on them. And she'd tell me, first you work on them and then you go out to lunch at Neiman Marcus or something, right? So she was a great mentor. But what was really phenomenal is how we'd be in a team meeting, like a department meeting. So the entire marketing organization for Sara Lee and the vice president and senior vice president, and all of these project managers would be there. And Kathy would point out things that people were doing on her team. And she'd be like, Carolyn managed this entire budget or did something. She would use this example. And I was always like, oh my goodness, she's bringing this up in front of all these people, this little thing that I did. And she brought up what everybody did. And this was like my first job in consumer products. And afterwards I said to her, like, Kath, you don't have to say that. You don't have to like tell everybody about that little, you know, multi-million dollar budget that I balanced, right? And she said, I'm only as good as my people. And when I show what my people can do, it shows what I can do in leading people. And I was like in my 20s and I thought to myself, wow, this world is really awesome. When you work for someone, they say what you do awesome because it really reinforces their leadership to their leader. Well, came to find out that wasn't true, but I have to say to this day, I always remember Kathy saying, I'm only as good as my people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
To get that at the start, right? You didn't need to get like kicked in the teeth or, you know, scuffed up a little bit by the world to get lifted up. You were lifted up immediately.
Right. And I believed that then when I went on to work, I was like, it's all about what do my people need and how do I work with the people? Like, we're all in this together. And of course, my managers didn't always think that way. You know how you'll have one that'll take the credit for things, or I saw somebody,
of course, say,
how do you get your voice heard? So yes, but I was very blessed very early in my career to have a woman who was not concerned about handing over credit in front of her, in front of the entire organization.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I love that, Carolyn. You're making me think of a story about a leader that had influenced me that way. And there were two that came to mind. One was my very first boss out of college, Steve Shenefield, who somehow just believed that I could do anything, except for programming and Lisp. We learned very quickly that I was not good at that. And then he redirected me to another job very quickly. And the one I'm thinking of more specifically with the story is Linda Sarandria. So I mean, I really want to honor and acknowledge Linda. There's a lot I could say about her leadership. Like, it was so clear that she had a vision and she was very good at getting people around her who were self-starters, who could just start and do stuff. And what I'm specifically thinking about it, so at this point in her career, my gosh, at the point that I started working for her, she was past mid-career probably at that point. And we wait.
We'll extend. Keep going.
So the early voters say extend. So
okay. Okay.
We'll put another 2 minutes on the time clock.
Okay. 2 minutes. That's good for me. I need a constraint. That's good. So, and she, at this point, she wasn't married and she didn't have children. And I showed up, she wanted to hire me. And I said, so here's the deal. I'm pregnant and I'm going to be a single mom. And I just found that out last week, both things. And I think I'm going to do a good job for you, but I just need you to know that that's the situation. And she looked at me and she said, you will do a good job and we'll do a good job for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so weird how like then three more women on our team got pregnant all at the same time. And we had a giant baby shower at the office for all of us and our friends and loved ones came, and it was really beautiful. And so like here is this woman who doesn't even have that experience herself, but knows how important it is to support other people where they are. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, we kicked ass and did amazing work because of the type of leader she was. Not only her vision, but also her heart. Remember, she showed up. My baby was born on her birthday. So, I mean, my daughter was born at 12:44 a.m. on October 22nd, which was also her birthday, and everyone accused me of sucking up.
Like you had any control.
I know. Isn't that funny? And this woman who, I just, her heart was so amazing. She showed up at my townhouse, like maybe a week later, when my daughter was just a week old, with a signet ring with the birthstone that she and my daughter shared in it.
Beautiful.
It was just amazing.
What perfect timing, too.
Yeah.
Lisa knows how to land that plane on time.
Yeah. Cry right from the very beginning of this.
All right, so collect yourself, Colleen. You're up next.
I know. Okay. How do we stop getting treated like an admin when we're in a leadership position?
Who do we think the we is in this question?
I think the question said I, but I think it could be any of us potentially, right? Mm. Does that fall more often on women?
I think it falls disproportionately on women. What do you all think? What do the men in this group think? Does this fall disproportionately on women, or would you say this is a really shared experience?
So I'm supporting a Scrum Master cohort right now, and we actually talked about this morning that I'm in a semi leadership position on the account that I'm working on right now, and I got invited to a meeting where I was asked to take notes and be the admin for the meeting, and so I told these Scrum Masters, it doesn't matter what level you get to, you're always someone else's admin. Like anybody can be in, like you have the opportunity to all, like, so if you're a Scrum Master and you always feel like the admin, don't worry. People at above you, they're admins to someone else. You know what I mean? So I think it's kind of relative. That's why I was curious of y'all's answer.
Well, and I would take maybe the counter to that is that, in my career, I have had the disproportionate like experience of it being assumed that I would be the admin, not like someone kindly asked me. I don't think I have a very good story for how I got out of that, because I wouldn't necessarily recommend this be the path for other people. But how I got out of it was I started acting more like a man, like putting on those yang leadership qualities, assertiveness, even domination sometimes. And I got my voice heard and people saw that I was sort of like in charge in some way. I don't necessarily think that that's the way forward though. So I'm really curious to hear what other people have to say about different ways of doing this.
And I think it almost even extends beyond just taking notes. I feel like there's a lot of like, will you order lunch, or cleaning up the conference room on everyone's way out. And sometimes that's, I think we bring that on ourselves a little bit. The tidying up, the stenches, right? It's like just your home duties carry over into office life. But I would agree. I feel like a lot of it ends up having to be very firm in saying like, okay, I'm going to delegate ordering lunch to somebody else. This isn't my job.
Yeah.
And I think it's this weird kind of line crossing too of, you know, I think sometimes because we look at the Scrum Master role as a servant leader, it can be treated for anyone, like Chris is saying, male or female, as just do all the crap work for the team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone in chat said, I had an employee tell me that if I didn't want to get treated like an admin, I should quit taking notes in every meeting. I put myself in an admin position. Mm-hmm. So it like to your point, Lisa, like there, I guess there is an attitude that we bring that kind of puts us in that, whether someone asks you to, yeah, you know, as if like taking notes is the only admin thing to do. I mean, you know, Scrum Masters say all the time, I feel like all I do is schedule meetings, like I'm the team's admin. Well, and we know that there's more to the level.
It's such a misunderstanding of that role.
Yeah, I know.
But that's a whole other podcast, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
I would say, two things about that. First of all, don't disempower the power of the role, right? So if you're given the admin role, there's some power in that role, right? Mm-hmm. So I remember when I was the lowest of the low of the assistant to the assistant, you got to open up the mail. We used to have mail and not just email then. And you opened up the mail and or the emails, and you knew what was going on ahead of some other people. And you knew how the leader thought, right? The head person thought, because you had this connection of seeing this information. And so one thing is you might be putting yourself into a role and thinking it's less than, but it really has more to offer. There's power in it if you take the power. And the second thing is, I'll tell you the dishwasher example. I needed to do it perfectly. And so I would always critique the dishwasher and how it was loaded because I was brought up to do it perfectly. And guess what? I get to do the dishwasher all the time. Perfectly. That's
my secret weapon. Load it wrong the first three times, and then you move on to the laundry, put a red in with the whites. And
so I was asked to make coffee one time. I made really bad coffee.
There's power in playing dumb.
I know people are voting, but I just came up with a really, really awesome modern leadership way of dealing with this.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Are we out? I'm not seeing the other screen because I just put it on just so I could see you all. So the modern way of doing it is being really clear about your boundaries and designing alliances with people about them, including your boss. And this requires some relationship skill, and it requires some ability to have sort of a pivotal conversation with someone in power, typically. But it's totally possible. I mean, like, it's time for us to really all pretend like we are independent consultants to our organizations. And some of us really are, and some of us just need to pretend like that, because I think that the era of loyalty and sort of a company taking care of you and you just do your thing and it's all going to turn out fine, I'm not sure that really exists anymore.
It's definitely different.
Yeah. And so if you pretend you're a consultant, you would ask questions of yourself like, what are the key things I'm being asked to do? What do I need in order to fulfill? And what boundaries do I need to set and negotiate?
Yeah. Makes sense.
Boundaries are the important piece there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And something like in our 10 Women Strong programs, something so many women work on. I mean, like, a big topic.
Yeah.
For the record, I had no concept of boundaries until I was in my mid-30s. I was raised in a family where we didn't have very many of them, not necessarily in a completely unhealthy fashion, but it didn't teach me the concept that it's good to have guardrails for my own personal sanity and health. Right. And it took me, it's taken me, it's harder to set up the boundaries the longer you go without them than if you just learn how to do it, you know, earlier on.
Exactly.
True story that.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, you ready? Grab the next one.
Yes, sir.
Refine, reframe.
This is fun.
I'm glad you like it.
Okay. Do you believe that working in an agile environment creates any different opportunities for women in technology?
Toss up. Anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyone.
I think it creates different opportunities for people to be human beings. And like full human beings at a time when we need people to be full human beings so that we can create new solutions to difficult problems. So, I mean, in that way, I think it does potentially, I don't know about women in technology in particular, but I would think maybe it does. What do you all think?
I think this depends so much on company culture more than anything else. I mean,
yeah.
I think there's practices that you can put in place that won't change, you know, some of the bro-y startup environments. And I've been in those too. And I think even the best agile culture can't beat that. I do think there's a lot of great agile practices that can make it more inviting to be part of a really high functioning, highly collaborative Scrum team. And hopefully that does make it feel more like you're an equal player in what you're contributing from a technical perspective. But I feel like that can't beat a toxic organization.
Mm-hmm. And I sort of feel like too, it's all about leadership. So we've been talking about qualities of good leadership and what that looks like. And I'm not sure that it would make a difference of whether you were in an agile environment or not. But when you have leaders who are have high EQ, can be vulnerable, can be empathetic and nurturing as well as driving those clear visions, et cetera. I think they can help create a space and an environment where everyone thrives. And it's not a matter of whether you're in an agile environment or otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple years ago, it's crazy that Andy, that we did this a couple years ago. Andy and I did some research, writing, and podcasting on this idea of organizational silence. There's a psychology behind from leadership, you know, whatever leadership is, C-suite, you know, whatever, right, on down, of making it not safe, right? Whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever, making it unsafe for people to speak their minds, right? Mm. They get shamed in meetings. They get, and this is a male female thing, right? Like, you know, there's the HIPPO principle. There's the, you know, taking credit for others' ideas. There's the, and I will say
mansplaining.
That. Mansplaining. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And there's this idea of, you know, the time that I've been very fortunate to spend with the women in agile leadership, that making space for others is an agile thing, right? It's almost written into the manifesto. But to Colleen's point about organizational culture, if literally it doesn't matter whether they're agile or not, right? If the organization makes it impossible to make room for others to speak, because culturally it's just, we're not going to work that way. It doesn't really matter how agile we are or not. We can advocate for it. I can try as hard as I can to make space for others. And I've had to work really hard as a white man to make space for others, because it's not something that traditionally came natural to me. I don't think that's an agile thing or not. I think that's a, you know, to the point human made thing. Earlier, like it's a human thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're making me think like on a broader scale here, is that what we're up to in human evolution right now is being in a more pluralistic, relationship-driven sort of mode, where we have relationship skills, where we are able to do what we're doing here on this podcast or this webinar right now, is pay attention to where is the energy shifting to the next person, and we're all supporting that person and talking. So we're doing that very naturally without even, I don't even know Colleen. I'm with the rest of you like infrequently. So it's not like we talked about that and figured that out, but those are skills we have.
Yeah.
And that's what the upswing of human evolution has been moving to prior to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. All right. Who's next up on the question?
All right.
I think Carrie.
I think it's me. All right. Looking to see the, all right, there we go. Okay, so do you have any recovery techniques that you use to regain your balance after a hard day or a hard week or a hard month?
This should be a good one.
Or like a hard 2 hours.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So it used to be, for me, a monthly time frame, and then it got to bi-weekly, and I'm with you, Lisa. You know, sometimes it's hourly. One of the things that I do, and some of you know, is I run distance. You know?
I made him start doing that, for the record.
It's your fault, Chris Merman. That's true. That was a good conversation. And you promised to do what?
To journal more, and I do.
So there's this supporting thing that we do, but mine is physical exercise. It's my moving meditation. I used to have a sitting practice that has fallen by the wayside. And so what I've put in is 5 days a week, I go for a run at least an hour. And that's my balancing technique. So I'm curious what others are doing besides the Corona teeny, which is at the end of the day.
So it's so funny, yeah. Andy, you say all that, because I was listening to a podcast probably about a month into the quarantine, and these two people were speaking about, you know, I don't want to see another blog post about here's the 100 books that you should be reading, or here's all the movies that should be watching, or the podcast you should be listening to. They're like, I've got kids, like I'm trying to get my job done, I'm trying to be a parent, and I'm trying to be a homeschool teacher, and I'm always on, and I feel that way. The reason why I get to Thursday night or Friday, like, and why I'm so looking forward to relaxing after this podcast is done, is that after every, like, I'm always, always, always on. I consume less media, I listen to less, I'm doing less self-care because I'm always on for someone else, right? And that's, I feel like that's my job. It's my job to take care of my family, and I just don't, I don't even know. I'm taking notes about what y'all are doing for self-care because I need to do some of it.
Well, we just have a new practice in our own household here today. Did I already tell you all this? I can't remember. Oh, no. It was on our community call earlier today. I was talking about this. That we've decided, or at least I invited people, and it seems like they want to do it, to just share with each other what our practices are for maintaining our functionality. That's what's up in our household here. It's like, we're not shooting for the stars. We're going for like being functional every single day at this point. And I think my practices do change even within a day, because I'm experiencing incredible swings in emotion and lots of different emotions. And I'm experiencing a sense of fear and anxiety that is not normal to me. Like I haven't lived in that kind of swirl, and I do now. And so one of my practices that I've got, there used to be one called cancel. When a thought came up that was a horrific thought, which happens a lot, which is probably why I've gained so much weight, because I have this horrific thought that I'm not going to have food like this in the future, right?
Primal.
It's definitely why I've gained so much weight. It's because I've been having these thoughts for the last couple of years, and now we're actually in the first of what might be many situations like this. And so my new thought, my practice was cancel. Just like cancel the thought out. But that wasn't working well enough. I had to replace it with something else. And now my new practice is, when I have a thought like that, humans are resilient. I just say that to myself, humans are resilient. Like, I don't have to know how it's going to work out. I don't have to be the smart one to figure it all out. I don't have to have a plan. I don't have to have a roadmap. I just know that humans are resilient.
Yeah. Well, you can even personalize that further and say, I am resilient. Right?
Exactly. So like, what the practice is, a replacement of the thought that takes you in the direction that's not resilient to a thought that takes you in the direction of being more resilient. And having said that, the last thing I want people to do is to keep bypassing all of the difficult thoughts and emotions. Because I think part of what we're meant to do in this particular time is to sit with ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just build on this. There's some radical acceptance of what is, and that we can hold both. We can hold the struggle and the pain, and we can hold the gratitude and the joy. We've always been able to do that, but our life has offered us so many distractions.
Mm-hmm. That we're really kind of noisy.
Really being called on to pause in the quiet. So I just say my quick, because I do on a regular basis have to reel it in, or I say, what is the best I can be? What is the best I can be in this moment? Mm-hmm. What is the best I can be? And I think about a value, kind, generous, creative. What is the best I can be in this moment? And then I say, what is the next best right step I can take, or next step I can take? If I need to do something, what is the best? And that could be take a nap, or that could be go for a walk, or that could be take three breaths. but what is the best I can be in this moment? And what is the next best step I can take? And I don't
call days worth attending.
I don't call it the days anymore. I just call it this day. So like this idea about the moment, it's like, what's the best I can be in the next 24 hours? And then when it's in the moment, right? What's the best I can be in this moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Long-term planning is kind of going out the window for many of us.
Yeah, I can't. Mm-mm. You know, I was meeting with my accountant yesterday. He's like, so what's your business plan? I'm like, to not have one. I mean, like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like,
get through the day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, do I want to go out and try to ask leaders for their money right now when they're saving their money so that they can pay employees so that people can eat? No, I really don't want to. It doesn't feel like the right time to do that. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm lucky that I don't have to make money every day to eat every day. And so I'm so aware of the privilege that I have. And I think that my job in that privilege is to do what Carolyn is saying, is to slow down and really not ask the questions that we've been talking about on this webinar or podcast, but sit in those questions. Yeah. Really sit in those questions and see what multiple answers come up.
Yeah.
Because we are creating a new future and we don't know what it is yet, but we're not going to figure it out by reacting to the difficulty, but by sitting in it.
Yeah. Before we pick up the next topic, I want to just, you reminded me, Lisa, that Joanna Rothman wrote a really amazing blog post. If you all haven't read it, find her on Twitter, and she tweeted about it. It's this idea of, we're never going back to the old way we're doing things, even if somewhat we go back to the old way of working, like going into offices or traveling or whatever, it's not going to be the exact same as it was. And so it's time to start discovering what your new normal is now. And I love that she took she took an engineer's approach to, as everybody who's read her work knows, is she takes an engineer's approach to the answer, which is like, let's discover our new normal. Let's start engineering it now and finding out what that is, because we can't sit there and wait for it to come. If we wait for the new normal to come, it's not going to be the normal that we want. So we have to go out and get it. And I love, she says it in a way that few writers can. She really inspires me.
Yeah, she's great. So, I mean, let's say her name loud. Joanna Rothman is who he's talking about. And people like Carrie, me, and Colleen in the Agile world are standing on her shoulders.
Yeah,
absolutely. Heck, I'm standing on her shoulders too. She's I can't talk to her without her saying, what have you written lately? Why have you not started a book? How many books have you started? A guy named Ryan Latta that I know, he said, never tell Joanna Rothman a book idea, because then you'll start writing it. And he published a book late last year that was because she said, now you have to write that book, which is, I love her. She's so great.
Yeah.
Okay, Colleen, I think you're up on the next question.
All right. Let's see.
Bringing it in.
All right. Yeah. So what are ways you have helped leadership understand that diverse teams create better products and services?
I don't think I have. Has anyone else? Tried?
So maybe we reframe this a little bit and make it future facing. What are some ideas that we could try? You know, not success stories of the past, but what are ways that we can show that diversity of thought, of gender, of age, of background, creates better business outcomes?
So, like, so much of the work that I do with leaders is about helping them understand that they have to increase their own personal mental complexity to be a match for the complexity of the challenges that they face. And there are ways of doing that. And the thing about this all this agile stuff we do and the value system and the belief system that it comes from is that it comes from a fairly mentally complex space. And thoughts like diverse teams create better outcomes. Collaboration is a better way to get creative solutions. People working on the same thing at the same time is better than people being split on five different projects. Like those things that we take for granted will not make sense to a leader at a certain level of mental complexity where they believe the world is a machine that can be taken apart. Mm-hmm. Each piece can run on its own and then we can put it back together and bang, it's fine. So I have stopped trying to convince anyone of anything. Because I find that the more I try to bring case studies and the more I try to show leaders how much better this team is than that team in their performance. And look, that team happens to have a diversity of perspectives and life experiences on it. And this team didn't. Like all of those things to leaders who are ready to see and adopt that new belief system, it clicks into place very quickly for them. But leaders who aren't, I've got to meet them where they are and say, okay, so here's the deal. You're being asked to lead in a different way. So let's talk about the struggles you're having, your own struggles with this world, because leaders are definitely hurting. There's no doubt about it. I mean, like the world keeps throwing all these curveballs at them and they might not have the ability to really, you know, function very well with that. You know, and if they're willing to sort of come along and take their own leadership development journey seriously, then they can have all the goodies that Agile gives because they're going to be willing to make the space for it.
Yep. What about you, Carolyn?
I'll just say from a 10 Women Strong perspective, I don't meet leaders that aren't willing to jump into this because they don't reach out to me. Right? Nobody signs up to get 10 Women Strong to come in and help them in a situation if they don't believe that there is a reason to engage women more fully in their organization. And so I have been very blessed to meet leaders that are like, look, we're not doing what we need to do for these women in our organization. I've also received the question, and I know Lisa knows this as well, when are you going to do something for men? And we're like, that's 2.0. We'll get there, but we have enough to do right now to make sure that women are being seen and appreciated first. And the engagement and the increased fulfillment that they feel in their life and how that translates into their work has been a return on investment that those fortunate leaders that reach out are very happy about. So I don't have to force it on anyone.
Any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I echo the idea of convincing someone else of this, but one thing that I've been lucky enough to build a few teams in the last few years, and the thing that I had to challenge myself with is, first off, identify who I am, right? Like the self-awareness of, what do I sound like? What do I look like? Where am I from? What are my experiences? And so as I talk to people before I build teams, I have to force my, it's so easy to say, man, I like that person. They make me laugh. They keep me, you know, they're fun. And in the Agile community, we love working with people that we like. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with that. But if they look like you, if they sound like you, if you don't know what you sound like or what you think like, you're not going to be able to build diversity. And so I would encourage people that are hiring, to really truly discover, or if you're just inside your company building a team, find someone, find out what you are so that you can find something different, because you need something different than what you are if you're going to succeed.
I love that.
Yeah. And I'll just point to the fact that those of you listening to this, pay attention to the fact that Chris Merman has done a lot of his own inner work. And that is what is allowing him right now to say to you, I realize these things and now I'm a stand for them. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of leader that will allow Agile to flourish in their organization when they do their own inner work, like you just heard Chris excavate for you.
Yeah. Why are you ending this by making me cry, Lisa?
Good job. Come on.
I'll Venmo mother. I'm Venmoing you the $20, Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah. That's worth more.
Wow. So
thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Chris, and thank each and every one of you who have shown up today to be part of the panel, to be part of the audience, to sharing your questions. We could keep going and going and going, but I'm going to respect the time box.
I like the fact that someone asked, though, if we could vote to extend the hour. I think that's yeah, an awesome testament to what we're up to here.
This was so rich.
Yeah.
So Lisa, Carolyn, the two of you lead 10 Women Strong, as I said at the opening. It brings together circles of dynamic and inspiring women that lead the right on purpose. I'm exhausted. Can we do post-production? Okay, cut that part out, editor. Wait a minute. Let me rally.
Let me just share that the 10 Women Strong, the 10 Women Strong program, pretty amazing. I went through one of them, and not only did I connect with some amazing women, I did a lot of deep work for myself. And the discovery and the reflection is incredibly powerful. And I am truly grateful to have had the chance to go through it. So I couldn't recommend it more. Yeah.
Thank you for the rescue, Carrie. Yeah.
The person who did it, I love it.
So yeah. It's near the end of the day, Friday, and it's the end of a week, and it's the end of energy, and I'm almost on an empty. Lisa, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you? What have you got coming up? You want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, you can always get a hold of me or see what I'm up to at lisaadkins.com, lysaadkins.com. And my jam these days is working with leadership teams who actually want to work on their relationship system so they can make better decisions and put less pain into the organization. So if you've got one of those, contact me.
Carolyn, what's the best way?
You can go to 10womenstrong.net. So it's TENwomenstrong.net, or you can send me a note at life@10womenstrong.net. We founded the organization more than 4 years ago on a remote-based program because women are very busy and we could not expect to get them all in the same place at the same time. So we work with women from Australia, New Zealand a couple weeks ago, the UK, the UAE, right, all over the US and North America. And we have programs forming. So reach out if you want to learn more about the programs. I do want to give you a poem, if I may.
Please. Please do.
Okay. So this poem is called Allow, and it's by Dana Fault, and I'll send you it so you can have it in the notes for it, but it goes like this. There is no controlling life. try corralling a lightning bolt containing a tornado. Dam a stream and it will create a new channel. Resist and the tide will sweep you off your feet. Allow and grace will carry you to a higher ground. The only safety lies in letting it all in. The wild and the weak, fear, fantasies, failures, and success. When loss rips the doors off the heart, or sadness veils your vision with despair, practice becomes simply bearing the truth. In the choice to let go of your known way of being, in the choice to let go of your known way of being, the whole world is revealed to your new eyes. So wishing you a whole new world revealed to your new eyes.
That was beautiful, Carolyn. Thank you so much.
Love it.
Thank you so much.
That's a little 10 women strong magic for you all. Carolyn's a poet, and so we love, always
can't
love
think of a better ender.
Allow.
We will share that. Shout outs to our sponsors. Carrie, you want to tell us a little bit about Agile Velocity?
Absolutely, would love to. So Agile Velocity, one of our sponsors here today, a trusted full service Agile transformation partner. Our big thing is our framework. So really focusing on outcomes to achieve the agility that you're looking for. And you can find out more at pathtoagility.com. We'd love to help work with you and your folks and your transformations and all the stuff that you're going through with it. So yeah, check us out.
Thank you, Curry. And then Chris, Agile Uprising. Can I put you on the spot to do the elevator pitch, or you want me to wing it?
We are trying to make a safe place for no matter what your opinion on agility and the different aspects of it. We have open and lively and with a slight amount of vulgarity at times conversation on the topic of agility, all different. We've done a series on transformation. We did the Game of Thrones takeoff of frameworks. We've done so many things. I'm just telling you all right now, like the last month and a half, 2 months of we have been cranking out some golden stuff, like lots of good conversation. If you want to just laugh and hear us make fun of each other, and Andy and Colleen and I are board members, please come join us there. We also have a Discord site where you can chat online. Just come hang out with us. We make it fun.
Yeah, we are a lot of fun. And as Chris has said, you might want to listen to the full podcast before you share it with your VP.
They can handle vulgarity as well. This is a safe space, right? And that means sometimes you say an expletive.
I never do. Chris, you
liar. You're an awful liar.
To all of you who have joined us, thank you very much. This will be rebroadcast so you can share it with those who couldn't make it. And I really hope this webinar helped each and every one of you in your pursuit of mastery of leadership, wherever you happen to be. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. Get the word out on adaptable leadership. If this is your first time tuning in, why don't you subscribe? Get the next issue. If you'd like to join the discussion, share your stories about women in leadership, please join us at coalitionagileuprising.com or follow the links on agileuprising.com to our Discord server. Finally, support from listeners just like you help us cover our hosting and production costs. See our show notes for details on how you can become a patron. Until next time, this is the Agile Uprising signing out.